pretty, pretty good.
Just when I thought I was out, pull me back in.
It's time for the Mickey Plyler Show here on The Roar.
Bama wins late against Clemson. SEC dominates ACC on night two. Brian Hartline to South Florida. Colin Klein to Kansas State. And the Gamecocks lose an offensive lineman to the portal. A busy Thursday show, so let's go. Morning, sports fans. Glad to have you with us for the Thursday edition of the Mickey Plyler Show. Thursday, December the 4th, 2025. Hope all is well. Looking forward to a great show today. 805 Paul Strelo, TigerIllustrated.com. Looking forward to that. We're going to talk some college basketball from last night, some coaching stuff, review signing day, tell you what's still out there in signing day, some portal news. Going to be a bunch of great things to discuss on today's show, including some perplexing comments by Dabo Swinney and Shane Beamer, the producer of this Thursday show, Mr. Sam Jones. Good morning, sir. How you doing over there this morning?
I am good. How are awesome. You?
Fantastic. It's cold.
It's not warm.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be really warm or nice weather here for a few days. At last check last night, it was 34. Right now, that's just cold.
At risk of being wrong, because you and I have said this before, I think it might just be cold now. I think it's probably...
I hope you're wrong.
I don't feel like we're going back up to the... it was like 70 a week and a half ago. Not sure when we're going to get back to that, but it's cold. I had less ice on my windshield than yesterday, though.
Me too.
It took two less minutes to get it off, so that was good.
Yeah. I'm looking now, between now and the 18th, we have one day at 61 degrees, but the rest are in the 40s and 50s as highs.
Yeah. It's December. You figured at some point it would shoe would drop.
The part that surprises me every year, and I shouldn't be surprised by it. Like, I played golf yesterday, right? And we didn't tee off till 12:30, basically. And we barely finished. But the sun doesn't get very high in the sky. Like, it stays so low. And, behind trees and stuff, like, it's just dark back through there. And the other thing is, I'm not surprised by this, but this happens all the time. Like, you can say it was 48 yesterday. The good news is the wind didn't blow. But it takes forever to get to 48, and then it doesn't stay 48 very long. So the highs in the winter are so much more.
It's dark at 4:30.
Yeah, man. And now that is, we've got, 17 more days. The days continue to get shorter for 17 more days.
It's cold.
Yeah,
it's winter.
Yeah. I don't know who would like the daylight savings time part of where it gets dark at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a little too early.
Yeah.
You don't get like tired that. Way earlier. It fixed my sleep schedule, which I appreciated, but other than that, it's a little bit of a bummer, point blank.
Yeah. Segment two. What are we gonna do?
Segment two. Conference championship week. We're gonna run through it like we usually do.
Let's do it.
Nine games.
Let's do it. I can't wait. All right, let's do that. Apparently, I didn't miss anything in the first half. I did watch the second half last night. I'm the good luck charm, I guess. But Clemson falls to Alabama last night, 90-84. Sam, let me give you my short impressions. You watched the game. I only watched the second half. My first half was my daughter and son and getting them to bed and getting them showered and all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, second half last night, we take care of that. Couple impressions. Correct me where I'm wrong, Sam. And then add to this, Tigers had to fight back. They were down 45-30 at half. Clemson scored 54 second half points. The Tigers in the second half shot 53% from the field. They pounded the paint last night. Clemson with 50 points in the paint. And I thought it was key to the comeback. The bench, a key to the comeback. Zach Foster with a couple of brilliant, explosive plays. And Clemson clawed their way back into this thing. Not very good from three-point line last night, only 21% from three, only made four threes the entire night. But the game plan, obviously, was to pound the ball inside. With that said, Sam, as hard as impressive as it was to come back, to take a lead late in the game, to me, this was an example of the better team made bigger plays, the clutch stop, the clutch rebound, the clutch free throw. That if you think about it, in the last couple of minutes, Clemson missed on so many opportunities, including free throws. And Bama got the rebound, made the big basket, and made free throws. That the clutch plays in the final 2 minutes of the game, the difference in a basketball game. Any of that unfair?
Yeah, I think Bama just closed a little bit better. I think you saw a former Final Four team the same year Clemson was an Elite Eight team. You know, this is a team that's always well-coached. Both of these teams well-coached. They do the little things well very often. And in this game, Bama did a few more down the stretch with a minute left. It didn't kill him, but R.J. Godfrey missed two free throws at one point down the stretch. They ended up bouncing back from that, but still could have used those points. Defense gave up a couple of open ones. It wasn't a bad final few minutes by any stretch. They just couldn't close them out. But I think you learned a lot about this Clemson team. They were down big, couldn't shoot the ball at all. Bama came out firing, and it felt like there wasn't going to be much to write home about from this game. And by the midpoint mark of the second half, it was a wide-open, pretty much coin flip game. So that speaks to the grit of this team. That's the identity they want to build, right? And they were able to fight back into this game and keep themselves alive, despite the fact that in a game that Alabama wanted to make a track meet and in a lot of ways did make a track meet, Clemson shot 4 of 19 from 3.
Yeah.
Only shot 40% from the field in this game.
Yeah.
So the fact that they kept this game close and battled all the way until literally the last second of the game is something to write home about. They won the turnover margin by 2. You take that. Only 7 turnovers in this game. Bama doesn't force a ton of them, but it was key that they didn't turn the ball over a lot, and they didn't. They won the rebounding margin by a couple. So, again, did all the little things that they needed to do to win this game or at least hang around, just could not execute down the stretch against a more talented team. But you have to feel pretty good after this game about where they're at.
Yeah, if anything, I'm not down on Clemson. Well, I'm down on the free throw down the stretch because that did cost them. I think Dylan might have missed one there. The free throws, I think they missed 3 or 4 in a row there down the stretch. I marked a little bit of that up to being on the road. But if anything, I'm impressed because Bama – made the plays, right? Bama made the rebound. Bama made the steal. Bama made the threes that they had to make in that crunch time coming down the stretch. So if anything, Sam, and feel free to push back on this, I was more impressed by Bama coming down the stretch, taking the game. Again, now the free throws aside, because you got to make your free throws. And Clemson shot the ball well from the free throw line last night, but the clutch free throw, the clutch trips down court. When you had to have a stop, Bama got a stop. When you had to get a basket, Bama got the basket. When you had to get the rebound, Bama got the rebound. You can turn around and say that Clemson didn't, and that's fine, and you can blame Clemson there. But Sam, I came more impressed. And Bama's got a couple of injuries, by the way. A couple of guys didn't play. With that said, when it had to be done, they did it. And I give them an awful lot of credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in this game, Clemson had a 2-point lead. And Bama was able to come back after blowing a 20-point lead at one point in this game, 17, 18 points.
Made the clutch plays, right?
Ended up handling their business, hunkering down on the defensive end. They blocked 4 shots in the last minute and a half of the game.
Yep.
Aiden Sherrell had 8 blocks in this game.
And that's the sign that they were the better team.
Yeah, they found a way at the end. And good teams find a way. Good teams also find a way to claw back when they're getting beat, and they do it on the road, and that's what Clemson did. So I think if you're Alabama, there's definitely things you want to work on coming out of this game.
Sure.
They're fighting some injuries still, so they get everybody healthy. They're going to be really good, as they always are. But I think for both teams, you come away feeling really good about this. I will say, multiple people at this game said it was the worst basketball environment they've ever been in.
Yeah, it sounded terrible on TV.
It was not any better. But Kwok and Faxon were there. They both said this. This was not a good environment. The women's basketball team was there. This was not a good environment. So I don't really know what's going on.
Is it exam week?
Is it
SEC championship week?
That might be factoring in here, but I mean, they're like the 8th best team in the country. So you would think, regardless, or they're 12th in the country. I mean, it's Alabama. This has become sort of a basketball hotbed the last couple of years with Auburn and Bama turning itself into a rivalry in that sport as well. You would think better environment for this game, but maybe not.
Maybe not. We'll see.
They won, though, so yeah, they'll take it.
Yeah, we give them credit. And you got to give the SEC credit. Last night, Arkansas, 25th-ranked Arkansas, beat 6th-ranked Louisville, 89-80. 11th-ranked Vanderbilt down SMU, 88-69. 20th-ranked Auburn beat NC State, 83-73. LSU won on the road in overtime and beat Boston College, 78-69. And Mississippi State beat Georgia Tech in Atlanta, 85-73. The only win the ACC got last night, Virginia beat Texas, pounded them, 88-69. It's interesting watching Virginia play. I watched that game afterwards, watching Virginia play offense now compared to what it was. So the SEC wins the ACC-SEC Challenge by dominating last night. The rest of college basketball from an evening ago, games involving ranked teams. Clemson's next opponent, 9th-ranked BYU, who's 7-1, beat California Baptist 91-60.
An MSG.
Yeah.
That might be even – I think that's an even tougher game than Bama. I think they're better.
Yeah, Bama, they might be better. Matchup-wise or style-wise, it won't be as interesting. But, yeah, hey, BYU's great. BYU's probably better than Bama. I'll give you that. How about 10th-ranked Iowa State scored 132 last night against Alcorn State. We had 22nd-ranked Indiana falling at Minnesota, 73-64. How about December the 4th, Big Ten action already? We saw it Michigan State and Iowa.
Yeah, I don't understand the scheduling quirk where you get one or two conference games and then you go back to three or four more non-con games until the start of January.
Yeah.
They're not the only conference that does it, and it's very odd to me. I've never understood why. They do it on both sides.
Yeah.
It just feels like a weird quirk that doesn't necessarily need to happen, but it's neither here nor there. You got to play the games at some point.
All right. Several other things to get into. One is the signing day stuff. Clemson added one, Michael Foster, defensive end from right here in the state, former ECU commitment. And the Gamecocks are still waiting on Landon Duckworth, waiting on Julian Walker, waiting on Carson Baker, waiting on a few guys there. They only signed 14 yesterday. Clemson signed 20. And we'll talk a little bit about what happened as Southern Cal gets the nation's number one recruiting class so far, with Notre Dame 2, Oregon 3, Ohio State's at 5. So the SEC only has one of the top 5, according to Rivals and On3.com. So a bunch of guys still out there, a bunch of guys that still shape things. You got 5-stars Lamar Brown, Chris Henry, and Savion Hitter, and Richard Anderson and Jalen Lott, 5-star still unsigned. And so, because of coaching a little bit in there, too. Two very interesting points on the Lane Kiffin stuff I want to get into today. Number one is the AD at Ole Miss, Keith Carter, disputes Lane Kiffin's account of his last days at Ole Miss. And the other one is fascinating, Sam. Did you see the story by Mark Slaybaugh that said Kiffin was deciding between LSU, Ole Miss, and Florida State?
I did.
And Kiffin wanted Florida State, and that even though there was not an opening, Florida State couldn't afford him in the end, but even though there wasn't an opening, Michael Alford, the Florida State athletic director, was negotiating. Now, that's fascinating in a couple of parts. Kiffin wanted Florida State, but the other part of that is, if all this is true, is that what if you're Mike Norvell now?
Yeah, they didn't fire him.
Your AD is out there cheating on you behind your back while you're still employed, and you're employed today. Like, that's that's fascinating to me. Nick Sharp, offensive lineman, goes in the portal for South Carolina. Brian Hartline, wide receiver coach, offensive coordinator at Ohio State, is leaving to become the head coach at South Florida.
That's a crazy hire.
How about Colin Klein? Yesterday, Kansas State gets their head coach retires. Colin Klein from A&M will be the head coach at Kansas State. These things are moving so fast, man. And affecting here locally is John Grass, the support staff guy here at Clemson, takes the Samford job, and that's going to have some ripple down effects. So, man, there's just a lot going on. With that said, there were a couple things said by Dabo Swinney and Shane Beamer at the press conference yesterday that had me just absolutely shaking my head and saying, when they said it, I went, "What? There's no way they said that," but they said it. We'll talk about that during the show. So we'll come back. Let's get a little conference preview. This is going to be a great one today. We've got a lot of big things, big picture things happening. My friends at the Patterson Tax Service, this is big picture. Taxes are big picture. Now, it gets down to the details of the small picture. But the big picture right now is you're planning. And the big picture right now is if you can set up a wellness program, and Patrick's Tax Service can do this for you, set up a wellness program for your company, you save $100 a month per employee. Some are saving $50,000 a year on payroll taxes, and the employees are taking more take-home pay. How does that work? Easy. Call the Patterson's Tax Service, 864-859-8289. The big, beautiful will set that up for you and what all that means. You're going to love our great friends at Patterson's Tax Service. PATTX.com, PATTX.com, 864-859-8289. Let them do your tax planning. Hey, you got 27 days left this month. You got to end things right for the season, for the year, to make your taxes much more desirable for next April. All right, short break. We'll get some previews of conference championships with Sam Jones when you come back right after this.
All right, are you tired of your dusty, cracked, and stained garage floor? Do what all your neighbors are doing and have it coated. But please, do yourself a favor and don't hire just anybody who says that they do floor coatings. You'll regret it. I'm Jake Wilson, owner of Iron Drive Floor Coatings, and we've been the premier concrete coating company in the upstate since 2011. We take pride in doing things the right way, with quality employees, equipment, and materials. You get the very best with Iron Drive. Visit our website today for a free quote at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
One size doesn't fit all. Don't make a mistake you'll regret for the rest of your life. Get the plan that fits you. Call today, 467-8738. I'm Guy, the insurance guy, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
Here at ATV Outfitters, we stock more ATV, UTV, motocross, and street bike products than anyone for hundreds of miles around. We have more than 10,000 tires and wheels on hand. We pride ourselves on great prices and getting you the accessories you need fast. Come see us for the items that are readily available to get your vehicle ready for the street, trail, or mud pit. Don't buy elsewhere, or we'll both lose money. Come by the store located at 2485 Rutherford Road, Greenville today.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-4426-054 today.
I'm Eddie Bennett. For 25 years, Bennett Equipment has sold and rented construction equipment. Bennett is one of Takeuchi's top dealers in the U.S. for the last 2 years by putting our customers first. And now, Takeuchi is offering 0% financing on all equipment and attachments, along with an industry-leading 3-year, 3,000-hour warranty. As we celebrate 25 and 25, we want to thank our loyal customers for your business and trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
No one wants it to happen to them, but unfortunately, chances are good that at some point, it'll happen to you. Roof troubles. It's one of the most important parts of your biggest investment. So when you need repairs or a new installation, you need someone who you can trust to get the job done right. You need Joe Robertson & Son Roofing.
As a family-owned and operated roofing company since 1965, Joe Robertson & Son have built a reputation for quality craftsmanship. It's why thousands of upstate home and business owners have chosen them for their roofing needs. Beyond providing quality work they're proud to stand by, Joe Robertson & Son Roofing also takes a client-first approach to their job. That means quality roofing, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. Put it all together, and it's easy to see why they're the upstate's premier roofing provider.
You can't cut corners when it comes to roof repairs and installation, so go with the trusted name in the upstate. Go with Joe Robertson & Son Roofing. Get started today by visiting them online at robertsonroofing.net.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
This is Leighton Covage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge, Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
What do Clemson and the Citadel have in common? The time-honored tradition of the class ring. Collegiate Legacy Designs created a ring plaque that will carry that same tradition in your office or home to last a lifetime. Proudly handcrafted by Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie, Collegiate Legacy Designs offers customized ring plaques for your class ring, both men's and women's, and can ship nationwide. Give the gift that will carry your alumni pride at collegiatelegacydesigns.com.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Sports talk for people who love sports. Come on, there's no need to complicate things.
It can't be forced. It should just come about effortlessly.
We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. My great friends at Blue Ridge Heating and Air do an incredible job. And now, man, I knew that we had some tax credit type stuff when it comes to like the energy tax credits. I didn't realize that it ends until a couple of months ago. The other thing I didn't realize is I know we have all kinds of rebates. I didn't know they had instant rebates there until a couple of months ago. And I knew they had the Armstrong. They're the number one dealer here for Armstrong Air, made right here in South Carolina. What I didn't know is they've got a limited supply of 2 and 2.5 ton heat pumps there that are really affordable for homeowners. And their upgrades before this new refrigerant models drive those prices up. So right now you can save three different ways. With the tax credits helping you get up to $2,000 in federal tax credits, you got to do it before down the end of the year. With the financial rebates, they're going to give you either 60 months no interest financing, or they give you a $2,000 rebate up front on that, or now with the low equipment costs. So call Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Visit BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. And these are Ben and Chris. These are great guys. These are guys that I believe and I trust. These are engineers. Speaking of engineers, I love their tagline that Blue Ridge Heating Air is engineered comfort solutions. Go to their website today to find out more about the triple stacking your savings. It's Blue Ridge Heating Air. .com. Segment two with Mr. Sam Jones.
We got a lot to get to in the next 2 days. This is a busy next 2 days. So let's knock out the conference championship slate here, as we always do on Thursdays, before we jump into anything else that happened yesterday night and yesterday during the day. Mickey, there are 9 conference championship games this weekend, starting with the mighty Kennesaw State and Jacksonville State. I'm not going to sit here and give you a deep detailed analysis of either of these teams. They can score. It should be a decent game. I'm rooting for Kennesaw State to win this game, point blank. I don't believe this game has any implications on the playoff. It's pretty much the only one that doesn't, other than probably the Mountain West.
Yeah. Kennesaw State feels like the better team here to me. I think they're the favorite team here. They're 9-3, but you got to go to Jacksonville State on the road.
Yeah, a lot of these games being on the road, not in neutral sites, makes things difficult.
Yeah,
a couple other games that don't necessarily have playoff implications: Miami of Ohio and Western Michigan in the MAC. Again, I lean Western Michigan here. I just think they're a little bit better.
Miami Ohio made it with a 7-5 record.
Yeah, they're just not as good of a team as Western Michigan, so I'll lean in that direction there. Right. UNLV, Boise State, the other one that doesn't necessarily have playoff implications, on that beautiful blue field up there in Boise.
I like UNLV here. I thought Mullins did a great job. They're 10-2, but Boise, I guess, is the home favorite, the weather favorite, whatever. Boise State, by beating Utah State last week, Boise State gets in and a 4.5-point favorite.
I lean home in these games. I'm sure Boise State wins this game, and then Duke wins, and they'll say, hey, put us in over Duke. That should not be happening. That would also require, in the first of the games we're going to talk about that have playoff implications here, Troy, who is a 22.5-point underdog, to beat James Madison.
This one won't be close. This one will not be close.
I don't see a path here for Troy, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't either. James Madison's the better team. So much more to play for. 11-1, 23-point favorites. This game won't be close, and this one will be a snooze fest tomorrow on ESPN at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I think James Madison's going to kill them.
And they're at home.
I don't see the path here. Yeah. The defensive ability for James Madison, they're going to shut Troy down. Their offense is well balanced. They just don't give up points.
Nope.
So I think James Madison wins and puts themselves, Duke wins, in a position for a playoff bid.
They were beating Louisville. It's the only loss of the year is a 14-point loss at Louisville. They were beating Louisville earlier in the year. Had they held on to that one, James Madison would be undefeated right now. And certainly the team to talk about in that group of five.
Yeah, could have gotten them.
Yeah.
Duke, let's do North Texas Tulane next.
That's a good game, man.
Fascinatingly fun.
Two teams, both coaches are headed out.
Straight playoff bid.
Both are ranked. This one down at Tulane. This is a good football game.
There will not be a ton of defense played.
No.
North Texas cannot stop the run. No one can stop North Texas.
Yeah.
I have really no inclination either way here. I think this is probably going to go into the 30s for both. Maybe the 40s. North Texas has been pretty darn unstoppable all but like 2 weeks this season. Tulane has been very, very good, has picked up some big wins as well, bigger wins than North Texas has. I'm going to lean North Texas here solely because I think I like Mestemaker more than Retzlaff, but I can't really say for sure.
I do, but like, what staff can handle all those distractions? Both head coaches are leaving, and so like, you're still doing all that. I'll tell you this. Here's one I could definitely say. This is the fourth best of the conference championship games.
Easily.
That's a good football game tomorrow night, ABC, 8 o'clock.
North Texas cannot stop the run. So Tulane's going to be able to run the football on them. Running backs have gone nuts on them all year
long.
Feels
like you got to get like at least 38
yes,
in this game.
Yes, Retzlaff can move as well. Tulane's going to move the ball. That's going to help them control the clock a little bit. But North Texas this season has not needed clock to score.
Yeah.
They score quickly. They score often. They run a pretty fast pace. I like North Texas here simply because if it gets into a shootout, I feel like they're better equipped to win it. At the same time, however, Tulane, very good. This is about as even of a game as you're going to find.
I agree with that. And weather's not much of a factor either, so that's good.
Will be an absolute joy to watch.
Yeah.
Duke, Virginia. This will not be a joy to watch if you're the ACC commissioner's office.
No.
You're terrified.
You see who he said they're a two-bid league? Yeah. Two-bid league?
Manny Diaz also said, we don't care about all the posturing and the politicking. The ACC champs getting in. I don't know, Manny.
No, they're not Manny.
I don't know, Manny.
If you win or not. If Virginia wins, you are. But if you win, you're not. And you don't deserve to be. You're 7-5.
Virginia blitzed Duke in the regular season. It was not a close game.
All right, that's what I want to talk about. Because you go back to that one. It was 34-17. It was at Duke. If you remember, Virginia, it was 31-3 in going to the fourth quarter. Some late stuff made it closer than it was.
It was a massacre.
But
they got killed.
The Virginia outgained them 540 to 255. They had 22 first downs to 11. They had the ball for 35 minutes and 50. They had basically 36 minutes to 24 minutes. And here's what I'm telling you about Virginia. Virginia does two things that fundamental football teams do. Number one is they run the ball. All right. In this game, I felt like I did a save right there. In this game, they ran for 224. The other thing that Virginia does is Virginia tackles extremely well. You know, we talk about all the talent and all the flashy stuff. We don't talk about fundamentals too often in the radio. It's not sexy radio. Virginia is a fundamentally sound football team. They tackle really well. And their blocking scheme and their backs, they run the football very well. Quarterback runs it well. Two running backs run it well. Short yardage, they're good. Fundamentally, Tony Elliott has built a really good fundamental football team, and that's why Virginia's going to the playoffs.
I think so. I don't think Duke's going to get shut down by the same team twice in the same year.
If they are, it's Virginia. Virginia's defense does not get enough credit.
No, Virginia's a very good football team. I don't think they're going to beat anybody in the playoff, but they're a well-balanced football team that doesn't do dumb stuff, and that's why they've won so many overtime games this year.
They just
excel in small situations where you got to do the little things.
Let me give you this, Sam. Do you know how many teams this year scored 30 or more points against Virginia?
One.
Two.
How many in overtime?
Florida State in overtime.
I guess it doesn't really matter if Florida State didn't score in overtime, right? So
right. And then NC State scored 35 early. They gave it 27 on the road to Louisville. Since then, they got 20 to Washington State, 16 to North Carolina, 21 to Cal, 16 to Wake Forest, 17 to Duke, 7 to Virginia Tech. This team tackles well. They're fundamentally sound. They don't bust out in coverage. They do little things really, really well. They are a very well-coached football team.
42% pressure rate. They get to the quarterback consistently. Duke is 84th in the country in allowing opposing pressure rate. So they're going to give up some heat on Darian Mensa. Does that matter to Darian Mensa? I'm not sure. He's very good. But he throws one a game if you can get him under constant pressure. If Virginia can force a couple turnovers here and make Mensa consistently uncomfortable, I think this is their game to have.
I think Virginia's going to win. It won't be like it was last time. It won't be 31-3 in the fourth quarter. But I think Virginia's a better team, and I think they're going to take care of business.
The ACC desperately needs Virginia to win the football game.
Bad, bad, bad. So you got the three big ones left.
Let's do the Big 12. I think Texas Tech's going to blast BYU. I don't want that to happen because I think BYU, in a lot of ways, is deserving of a bid. But I think Texas Tech is way better here.
Texas Tech is better on both lines of scrimmage. Let me give you the good news for BYU, though. BYU is a physically and mentally tough football team that has basically out-physicaled everybody they played this year except for Texas Tech. That shows how good Texas Tech is. That BYU this year, the only loss was to Texas Tech, and it wasn't close. But this team, man, I love their physical makeup. I love their mental makeup. I love the quarterback. I love the coach. Love everything about them. But that goes to show you just how good Texas Tech is. Because Texas Tech, they blow everybody out. Besides their loss to Arizona State, I told you this the other day, the BYU game is the closest game they played all year, and that was 22 points. Nobody has been within 21 points of Texas Tech the entire year outside of their loss at Arizona State. This team just, they've dominated people. 49-0 West Virginia last week. 48-9 to Central Florida. A 22-point win against BYU, number 11 team in the country. They beat Kansas State by 43. They beat Oklahoma State 42-0. Beat Kansas by 25. Beat Houston by 24. Beat Utah on the road by 24. Beat Oregon State by 31. Destroyed Arkansas, Pine Bluff, and Kent State. They don't play close games. They just blow everybody out.
It's hard to exaggerate how good they are at the line of scrimmage on both sides of things. They're fifth in the country in yards before contact on their rushing defense. They're first in yards after contact. They don't miss tackles. They get consistent pressure. They're 16th in the country in pressure rate.
They're physically dominant.
14th in yards after catch. They're not giving up a ton of yards in the middle of the field. And then offensively, they don't give up a ton of pressure to either. Only 23% of the time is Baron Morton or Hammond when he was starting pressured at that quarterback position. And they run the ball pretty well. I mean, this is just a stupendously well-rounded football team. Much more well-rounded, a lot better than Arizona State last year, and that team nearly won a playoff game.
They're so bad. They have three or four really good wide receivers that make plays, right? Very productive there. A 1,000-yard rusher. Matter of fact, those two running backs, both of them are great players. Dickey's the one that has over 1,000 yards. And then, you know, Morton and Hammond came in and all that. But between those two guys, well Morton – 20 touchdowns, 4 picks.
They don't turn the ball over at them.
No.
And they sack you repeatedly. They've got NFL players all over the defense. They're
I'm going to tell you, man, they're a national championship contender.
They're the third best team in the country to me. I think they're better than either of the SEC teams that we're going to talk about right now because Georgia and Bama are pretty much being given like toss-up odds in this game. The analytics say that this is about a toss-up. I think Georgia's better, but I'm not exactly encouraged by what they did offensively against a bad Georgia Tech defense last week. I don't know if they let the foot up off the gas. I don't know if they were just bored. I'm not really sure what happened there, but I still lean Georgia in this game because Alabama's been flailing a little bit lately. Ty Simpson's not been the same quarterback he was the first couple months of the year. I trust Georgia just a little bit more in this game. However, it might be a win or go home if you're Alabama.
Let me give you this. First of all, Georgia's a better football team. Georgia's trending better than Alabama. Georgia has no – I'm going to give you two good news for Alabama. I think Georgia's going to win the game. I'm going to give you two pieces of good news for Bama, though. Number one, Bama has a mental – there's a mystique about Bama when they play Georgia. Bama knows they can beat Georgia, and Georgia thinks they can beat Bama, but they never do it. And that – I'm going to tell you, man, that the more they play and the more Bama wins, that has a psychological effect. And the other thing is, Sam – Bama slows the game down The only team that plays as slow as Alabama, in a world in which everybody goes fast, 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 Bama barely gets a snap off. It's like the NFL. Bama gets a snap off at 0, 1, or 2 almost every snap. And so Bama suffocates you by your offense is on the sidelines the entire game. So the only team out there that plays slower than Bama is Ohio State. And that's part of the reason why Ohio State is great on defense. Bama's not great on defense. But Bama is good on defense because they're never on the field. Georgia, when they played, when they lost to Bama in Athens, Georgia ran 53 plays. Bama, I'm telling you, their formula is, and I didn't realize it until about 2 weeks ago, Bama just slows everything down. Like, you don't get opportunities to run plays against Alabama.
And it's an odd way of slowing things down because traditionally you would think the other team's going to run the ball a lot. Bama's going to run the ball a lot. Bama doesn't run well.
No, no.
And they've been injured at that position all year.
You know what I'm talking about in the NFL. NFL's like, oh, my God, this is going to be a delayed game. Mm-hmm. Oh, they got it off.
Yep. As the clock gets here. Yeah.
Every play.
It limits your ability to make mistakes on the other side because you don't know how long you're going to have the ball. So
right.
If Georgia limits mistakes, which I think they will because Gunnar Stockton doesn't turn the ball over very often, they win.
It's an interesting concept. I think Bama covers up their defense with this. The other one is Ohio State. Ohio State, I think, should play faster because they're better than everybody and that defense is not going to yield points no matter what. But part of the mystique of Ohio State's defense is they milk the clock on offense. They control the time of possession deal. You know, in a world where time of possession really means nothing, two of the highest rated teams in the country dominate time of possession. Well, and it's an interesting strategy, but it's an NFL strategy, but it's a very interesting strategy.
Well, they need it to work this weekend or they may not be in the playoff next week. Finally, before we get out of here very quickly, because really the game doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but it matters a lot to Indiana winning a Big Ten championship. The clear two best teams in the country, Ohio State and Indiana. I think Ohio State wins this game. My key here is if anybody can beat this Ohio State team, we're going to figure out this weekend.
I agree with
you. You need Indiana to keep this close.
I want to talk about this after the break because name another – Ohio State's only a four-point favorite right now. Name another team in the country that would be a four-point dog to Ohio State. Everybody else. I mean, even – I think Georgia would be more than four-point dog. I think Alabama would be more than four-point dog. I think Texas Tech would be more than a four-point dog. Vegas has an awful lot of respect for Indiana. You know why? Because Vegas is smarter than anybody else, and Vegas has seen Indiana dominate people on both sides of the football all year long. I'm not sure they can't win this football game. And that would send a message. I'm not, you know, maybe you don't want to win this one. Maybe you want to lose this one and then win the national championship.
13-0 Big Ten champions for Indiana. That looks pretty good.
It does.
That don't happen often.
It does. I think there's a chance. I think Ohio State's the most talented team in the country. I think they got a chance. Indiana's got a chance this week. Let's talk about it. Short break. We'll come back. Much more on the other side.
Out of Bounds hits the road this coming Friday at the Clemson Subway next to Lake Hartwell. We'll be talking with Making My Mark, a local organization focused on suicide prevention and awareness. That's this coming Friday, Out of Bounds and Making My Mark at the Subway in Clemson.
The holiday season is here, and Elkmont is counting the days to Christmas with a special sales offering for each of the 24 days of Christmas. Items will be added daily and posted on Elkmont's Facebook and Instagram pages. Elkmont has all the brands you love, like On Clouds, Birkenstock, Extra Tough, Patagonia, Z-Supply, Filson, Columbia, Maui Jims, Costa, and so much more. Elkmont is located in Powdersville and Clemson or online at elkmonttradingcompany.com. That's E-L-K-M-O-N-T tradingcompany.com.
Merry Christmas. If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple. The highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, doubledogvideo.com. Let us tell your story.
Blue and white trucks rolling down the street. Fixing pipes and wires that can't be beat. From the upstate hills to the valley low. Ace Plumbing's the name.
friends and family are coming over to your place for the next big game, everything has to be right. So when your comfort and reputation are on the line, don't leave it to chance. Bring in the experts in the bold white and blue trucks. Visit acehomeco.com for all your plumbing, HVAC, and electrical needs.
Looking for the right solid surface flooring for your home? Do you have a few questions about the best options? No worries. That is where Greer Flooring Center and our consultants can help you. Our team of local professionals can show you hardwood, luxury vinyl, tile, engineered hardwood, and answer your questions to customize the perfect space for you. Remember, you'll always find a knowledgeable, experienced staff member and the right prices at Greer Flooring Center. Visit us at GreerFlooringCenter.com.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, and my team's ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, we got you covered with over 500 vehicles available. And we're tackling high prices with huge discounts, like saving up to $15,000 off a new F-150 or a Ram 1500. Plus, Lake Kiwi is blocking high interest rates with attractive financing. So make the winning drive, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or Lake Kiwi Ford, or you can shop us all online at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. That's LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, where Mark's team is ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, they've got you covered with over 500 vehicles ready for delivery. And Lake Kiwi's tackling high prices with new trucks discounted up to $15,000. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on a new truck at Lake Kiwi, and they've got a bunch of them to choose from. So make the winning drive to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford. They're between Clemson and Seneca, and all always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. See dealer for details.
Two stores, one destination. Four Men on Exchange and Newteep Boutique. Whether you're looking for women's clothing and home decor items or men's fashions and gifts, we've got you covered from head to toe. Newteep Boutique is at 122 East Main Street, while Four Men on Exchange is at 102 Exchange Street, just across the street. So no matter who you're shopping for, you'll find that at Newteep Boutique and Four Men on Exchange. So come by to see us Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 5, and on Saturdays, 10 to 4. Downtown on Pendleton, at Newteep Boutique, and Four Men on Exchange.
Do you hate brown or dead-looking turf in the winter? At Carolina Top Dressing, they can turn your lawn into the beautiful summer green lawn everyone loves with their turf painting service. Also, now through winter is the best time to amend your soil and establish healthy roots. Ask about the soil conditioning program to get this done. Mention you heard this ad on The Roar, and you can save 10% off any of our services. Call today, 864-999-SAND, or visit carolinatopdressing.com to get a free quote.
Your home for the Upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Eggs Up Grill, they're doing an absolutely incredible job. I'm on their catering page right now. You go to eggsupgrill.com, and you click on catering, and you see what these things are, what they've got for you. So, you know, a lot of you are having parties, Christmas parties. A lot of companies doing the end of the year appreciations for your employees. You need to stay catered. They do it during the business hours. In other words, they do breakfast, they do brunch, they do lunch. And so you get the brunchy buffets. That's the classic buffet or the griddle buffet. Like the griddle buffet's pancakes or French toast and scrambled eggs and bacon and sausage and strawberries and blueberries and all this. The Sunnyside spread samplers, shrimp and grits, loaded home fry sampler, breakfast burrito sampler. I mean, just awesome stuff. Breakfast sandwich sampler. You get all that. The box brunches, I should say, with biscuit sandwiches and shrimp and grits in that one as well, and some really like the blueberry muffin and yogurt stuff. You get all that. And then the lunch stuff with all the wraps and then all the salads they have. What I'm telling you is in box lunch. What I'm telling you, if you're a team, if you've got the, if you've got business meetings setting up and you need to get things catered in this time of year, easy to do. Eggsupgrill.com, breakfast, brunch, lunch. They'll cater these for you in Seneca and in Clemson. Go to eggsupgrill.com. It's absolutely fantastic. All right, Sam, let me just quickly touch on before we get some phone calls and some text messages. On the Ohio State-Indiana deal, I mean, in Ohio State's favor, you're looking at it. You know, Ohio State gave up 10 to your Purdue team. They gave up 14 to Penn State. They gave up 16 to Illinois. And that's the only three double-digit games they've given up all year. Like, what Ryan Day has figured out, and Ryan Day's a pro guy too, is that when you limit those possessions and you got a suffocating defense, that once you get to about 21 points, I mean, the game is over. I do a thing all the time in basketball where, like, if the game is tied at, like, 72 with 4 minutes to go, I always say, all right, first team to 80 wins. Well, and last night was, like, first team to 90 wins. Anyway, but when you're playing Ohio State, it almost feels like that once they get to 17 or 20 or 21, that's it. It's over. Now, with that said, that's because they've been better than everybody. I'll ask you this, Sam. The win against Texas in the opening game of the season, that was 14-7, and offensively that was not impressive. Defensively it was. The win against Illinois or the win against Michigan maybe, but one thing I will say is they've not been tested by anybody, anything close to their talent level. Fair? Texas was closer to that level. Outside of that, 7-point win. They hadn't been tested. That one's been physically close to being their equal.
I'm not sure how many teams are even close to their talent level.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think they're going to necessarily be tested. I think they're more talented than everybody.
But I think that people downplay Indiana's talent level, and especially on defense. Those linebackers are amazing.
Indiana's very, very good on both sides of the ball. They're the clear second-best team in the country to me. The problem is, I think this is an Ohio State defense and roster in general that we're going to look back on in 10 years, and we're going to look at it like we looked at LSU's roster and say, how were all of those players on one side of the ball? How was Arvell Reese and Caden McDonald and Sonny Styles and Caleb Downs and Igbinosin and Jermaine Meth, how are all of these guys on one side of the football? And I think that's what we're going to do with Ohio State's defense.
Sam, I think we might be saying the same thing about how was Hardy and Fisher and Moore and some of these guys on the Indiana team.
We very well might. It's an incredibly good game.
All right, so let me just do this quickly. Here are the games that we have the same common opponents, all right? Ohio State, I know Illinois is one of them. So Ohio State beat Illinois 34-16, and that was at Illinois. Well, Indiana was at home against Illinois. They beat them 63-10. All right, they both played Penn State. Ohio State beat Penn State 38-14. Now, Penn State was closer. And I remember that was the game that came down the wire, and it was a three-point win by Indiana in the Penn State game. They both played – well, Ohio State did not play Maryland. I'm trying to find the games that had common opponents here.
They both played Purdue. Indiana beat Purdue 55 or 56-3. Purdue lost to Ohio State 34-10.
Okay. Another one was Wisconsin. No, is it Wisconsin? Yeah, Wisconsin. Indiana 31-7. No, Ohio State.
Ohio State beat Wisconsin 34-0.
Okay. Close there, right?
Shut them out, yeah.
And is that all the common opponents?
It took Ohio State six games or five games to give up 10-plus points in a game. They capped out at 16. That was Illinois. Until I see someone score 20 points on this team, I cannot pick anyone to beat them.
Well, you know how many teams have scored 20 points against Indiana? Two.
I'm going to guess two, yeah.
Two.
No, they're better than everybody else. I just don't think they're better than Ohio State. There have been a couple more tests for Indiana from a close game perspective. The Iowa game was close. Iowa keeps everybody pretty close. Would have been interesting to see what Iowa would have looked like against Ohio State because you know they're going to try and slow the game down just like Ohio State would have and kill it. Oregon, obviously, gave Indiana a good game, but that was an incredible win for Indiana up in Autzen. That was one of the best wins of the year. We didn't see Oregon-Ohio State this year after we saw it twice last year. There haven't been a ton of tests from a ranked perspective here for Ohio State,
Can I give you that then?
They have passed every non-ranked test in flying color fashion.
I learned this lesson back in the late 80s. Can I talk you into this? When UNLV was with Larry Johnson, Stacey Augman, Gerald Patio, and some unbelievable players, when UNLV went like 37-0, the Kentucky team a few years ago in men's basketball, dominated everybody, went 35-0, whatever it was. They finally got in the game close in the Final Four, and they got beat. Ohio State has not played a close game this season. Besides the Texas game, that was a 7-point game. The next closest game, Illinois played them within 18 points. And Michigan played them within 18 points. That's it. They've not been in crucial, critical downs, drives, have to get a stop, have to get a first down all year long. Can I talk you into the experience that Indiana had by going to Penn State and getting that close win, and by going to Oregon and getting that win? If the game is close in the fourth quarter, Ohio State hadn't been there, Indiana has.
You could talk me into that, but I could also try and talk you into there's a reason Ohio State hasn't been in any close games yet.
I get you.
So, I mean, I absolutely agree with you, and I do think that if the game is close, in a lot of ways it does favor Indiana. My counter would also be a lot of these guys were on the football team last year when Ohio State won the national title, and they had to win some close games to get there, and to be honest with you, they didn't really play many close games in the playoff to get there either. They blasted through teams.
If I remember correctly in that one.
The question is, what does Julian Sayin look like in a very close game? We haven't seen it yet. That's where you have to say, okay.
This is my heart talking, because I want Indiana to win the game. this is going to be a fourth quarter football game. I'm just telling you. This game will be a close game at 10:30 at night. Like, you won't go to bed early Saturday night, I can tell you that. This game's going to be close.
I think it's good if Ohio State gets tested here in a close game. There's a very good chance they see this Indiana team again. Very, very good chance.
For the national championship.
Absolutely. Very good chance. So, I don't feel like this, there's a very good possibility this is not the only time this game happens.
Would you be shocked if Indiana beats Ohio State?
No, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I would be stunned if either team obliterated the other one.
Right,
I think it's going to be a close game regardless of who wins.
It's going to be a close football game, so we'll see that. All right, I got a lot to do here. Let me sneak in a couple before we get to the top of the hour. Delvin, I got a couple minutes, man. Go right ahead.
Couple things. How many staffers you think John Gross is going to take with him? Because a lot of people been saying Mickey Cunn might be going with him as defensive coordinator.
There's a lot of stuff. I'm going to touch on this at 7:15 this morning. I'm going to get into this a little bit. A lot of stuff people are writing, this is our done deal. I don't know that. I mean, Gross is a done deal to Sanford. I don't know who he's going to take. I don't know how many of you guys are going with it, but that'll be a very interesting thing to watch in the next 2 weeks, what that looks like. But I don't have confirmation on anybody at this point. Yeah.
I'm concerned about Double Cummings, what he said about the quarterback.
I am too. Let me tell you, 7:25 this morning, Double.
Tune in right now. If Double believes that, then Double going to be on the hot seat.
I 100% agree. 100%. So at 7:25, that's going to be the main topic for the next 2 seconds. And I'll ask Paul Strelo that. He can't mean that. And also, Shane Beamer said something yesterday, and I was like, what? What the what? Anyway, 7:25. Delvin, I appreciate it, man. Let me run. Appreciate it for sure. Let me get Hal in here next. Hal, I got about a minute, man. Go right ahead. How you doing?
Fine. The Panthers, I mean, they got a bye week. It'd be interesting to see they got a good chance to have a good run and all that.
I'm telling you, I'm shocked. The Panthers are in this thing. Like, I'm just looking at it, and this is a playoff. They're 7-6, or a half game back. It's not like Tampa's great. They're better than the Falcons and the Saints. They've got a chance, man. They've got a big, big chance coming up, no doubt about that. And a bye week this week, yeah. But you got the Bucs twice, so two of the next three games against the Bucs, and that will decide their season, no doubt. Surprise.
Yeah, but they're half a game behind the Bucs in that division, and this is probably the weakest division in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, it is. But two of the next 3 weeks is the Bucs and the Panthers for the playoff spot. Got to go get it done.
Yep. Bryce Young's coming a long ways and all that he is criticized for being kind of short for his position.
He's come an awful long way. 18 touchdowns, 9 picks. Pretty good year for sure. I got to get top of the hour, man. Always appreciate it. Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. Let them take care of you. Prime Lending does an incredible job with your mortgage. Your mortgage rates are incredible. The best customer service. Get three estimates. If one of them is Prime Lending, you'll do them. My last two have been with them. These people are awesome. Awesome to deal with. Mark Hawkins is a friend. Amanda McCall is a friend. These people are awesome. Let them take care of you. It's PrimeLendingSC.com. Hour number two when you come back right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar. Call the drum.